Welcome to the Hoopsite Podcast. My name is Alex Kennedy. This is episode number 210. We post new episodes every Monday and Thursday. Today I'm joined by a three-year NBA veteran who's played for the 76ers, Knicks, Wizards, and Warriors. He's also had several stints overseas, and he won a EuroLeague championship with Luka Doncic and Real Madrid in 2018. My guest is Chasen Randall. Chasen, thanks for joining me. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Just maintaining, trying to maintain my peace of mind, maintain my body, and my relationship with my loved ones. Just check on them every time I get an opportunity.
For sure. We just did an article on Hoopsite about how players are staying in shape at home. I know it can be a challenge for some guys. I know the star players, they have, a court or gym in their home, but for a lot of guys, they don't have much equipment. The teams have been providing some stuff. What's it been like trying to stay in shape at home throughout all of this?
Well, for me, I've been pretty lucky. My girlfriend's brother-in-law, he actually has a gym in his garage. We call it the Grind House. So I've been in the Grind House, working out just about every day, staying in shape. He's got everything, I could ask for in there as far as machines to run on. He's got rowing machines, treadmills, bikes. He's got weight racks, dumbbells, just about every bell and whistle you'd want in a gym. He's got it. So we've been in the Grind House just about every day. And then I also have access to a private basketball gym. So I've been blessed, man, to be able to kind of treat this quarantine as, as an off season. That's the way I'm kind of approaching it. Just trying to work on little things within my game, continue to get stronger, on and off the court, and, just take advantage of the time.
Yeah, you're set. I talked to six different NBA players and kind of polled them on what they had or what they were doing. And only one of the six I talked to had access to a court or a gym. And then there was one NBA strength and conditioning coach I spoke to, and he said none of their players had a gym or a court. They had no access. So, they were trying to find tracks or football fields near their home where they could go get a workout in. So you're really fortunate. Yeah, I mean, I've been saying this, and when I was talking to different players for that article I mentioned, I was talking about how, certain guys that have access like you do, that have the ability to go in a court or, work out in the Grind House, I feel like you're going to have a huge edge when you come back and start playing again, because, you're not going to have to shake off the rust. A lot of guys, even if they're getting cardio in and working out, it's different than being on the court. Do you think that could be an advantage for you and other players that have a similar setup right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime that you can put the ball in your hands and feel and touch and, get that rhythm back. Basketball is a rhythm sport. People can say so many different things about it, but at the end of the day, it comes down to how the player actually feels out there. So, I think just being able to kind of maintain that rhythm, get on the court and get up and down, it's not the same as playing a game or, having that contact with another body on you, but I think it'll definitely, help and be an advantage for myself and other guys who have access.
Yeah, I agree. It's hard to mimic those the game intensity and the game movements, like you said, but better than nothing. I have to ask, though, what was your reaction when the season was suspended? We haven't really seen anything like this before, obviously. So when you first heard that, what was your reaction?
I was shocked, beyond measure, to be honest, because I just came from China and I seen it happen before. But no way, if somebody would have told me, before I left there that it would come to the U.S. and halt, halt the country. To forget sports, it halted the whole, world. But I wouldn't have believed them, so it was a shocker to me. But the main thing is we have to continue to, stay safe and take the right precautions, because this thing is serious. And, my thoughts and prayers are with everyone who's either lost somebody to it or somebody who's dealing with the virus right now, personally. So, yeah.
Absolutely. When did you leave China?
I left China January 26th.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you, You got a chance to see it over there and here. I talked to Jarnell Stokes recently, and he was in the same boat. He was playing in the CBA, and then, he kind of saw it when it was at its worst in China, and he stayed in China longer than I think most players did. He was there until March. So
Oh,
he
wow.
kind of, yeah, he was basically thinking about just waiting it out and staying to see if the season resumed. And then he eventually came home in March. So then he kind of saw the worst of it in China, and then comes home, and all of a sudden the US, takes a turn for the worse. So he saw it in both places. But, I feel like, having that experience in China, when you got to the US, were you realizing how serious it was, maybe before some of your peers or your friends were?
Yeah, for sure. Just because like I had seen its impact firsthand out there in China, you were hearing about the deaths and seeing videos and people sharing stuff of what's going on. And so I knew it was serious, but for it to travel as fast as it did and for it to have this basically the same effect, if not worse, on America was just, it's heartbreaking kind of, you know what I mean? Because there's so many, you'd think there'd be so many things in place to kind of stop this, but it's when nature works, so.
Yeah, no, for sure. We'll get to your career in one second, but I have to ask, do you think we'll see NBA basketball at some point in the near future? Do you think there's going to be a way for them to resume the season in the next few months? There's been talk maybe they would jump right to the playoffs. Maybe they could have all the teams in, a bubble location like Orlando or Las Vegas. Obviously, I'm not asking you to solve the solution, solve the problem here, but do you think if you had to predict that we'll have basketball back at some point in the next few months?
I'm an optimist, so I say yes. I think we do see basketball. I think it would be great for the league. I think it would be great for the country. Basketball and sports in general is something that unite people and bring them together, allow people to show camaraderie and show strength. And I think that if we could persevere through, this pandemic and find a way to, number one, keep the safety of everyone involved and then play basketball, number two, that would be amazing. I think it would go down as one of the greatest comebacks, in American sports, man, for sure.
Yeah, I think people miss basketball, but like you said, safety is obviously the number one priority. So if they can get that part worked out, then we'll be good to go. But I don't want any of you guys risking your life out there for basketball. As much as I love basketball, let's not be crazy. But yeah, I think we all want basketball back. So we'll see what happens with that. I want to talk about your career now. In 2015, you went undrafted. And it was shocking. You produced at a really high level throughout your 4 years at Stanford. We know NBA teams fall in love with potential and obsess over each prospect's age during the draft process. But how frustrating was that? How tough was that? Seeing so many unproven guys picked over you, when you had already produced and shown what you can do.
Oh man, I was devastated. Like looking back on it, like if you would have asked me like, what then, I would have thought like my career was over. Like I didn't think I would play another basketball game in my life. You know what I mean? I knew there was an opportunity to go overseas, but I was so unsure about that part of it, and living in a whole different country and adjusting to the customs and things like that. Like, I wasn't sure if I could do it or not alone. So back then it was very, very tough for me, but life goes on. I improved. I got so much better and I am a culmination of all my experiences. So the experiences that I've gained have helped me to get to where I am now and to honestly become a better player and better person. So I'm grateful for that experience, to be honest.
If you could talk to 22-year-old you who's going through the draft process, what advice would you give yourself knowing everything you know now? Or, there's going to be players that are in a similar position during this draft that may be seniors and maybe they're not sure where they're going to be picked and don't know what the future holds. What advice would you give to either a younger you or someone else that's in the same position?
I think it would be this year's a little different, with the pandemic and stuff going on, but like overall, I would just say like max out every opportunity. whether that's, I don't know how they're conducting workouts or if they're going to do that or not. I don't know what, how they're doing interviews and stuff, but like max out, like show your true self, show, everything you've got, put all your energy and effort into it. 'Cause you only get one time to do it. But then at the end of the day, if it doesn't go your way, like it'll be fine. Just continue to work hard. Things always find a way to work themselves out. And I'm a true believer in that. And as long as you believe in yourself, everything, and you work towards your goals, everything else will fall into place. So that would be my advice.
Did that drafting experience motivate you at all?
Absolutely. Just because, like, of course, you see guys, who are drafted over you or whatever, and God bless them. Like I don't have any ill will towards anybody, but it just motivates me to just continue to be hardworking and put forth my best effort in everything that I do, because you have doubters, you have people who don't believe that you can do something or that you have this ability. So it just pushed me to work, continue to work harder, and continue to prove myself. I think that was honestly a wake-up call for me, because like every opportunity that you get, you have to go out and prove yourself. You know what I mean? There's always somebody out there who doesn't believe or wants to see, so you have to go out there and perform and make sure you're ready for every opportunity. And I think since then, I've done that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we'll get to your NBA stints in a moment, but you initially played in the Czech Republic. What was that experience like on and off the court?
Oh man, the Czech Republic. Early on, it was like I didn't think I would make it. I didn't think I would last out there.
Yeah,
Just because,
22 years old. I mean, that's crazy.
22 years old in a whole different country. Like I had taken like Spanish in high school and in college, so I feel like I could get by in a Spanish speaking country. But once I got to the Czech Republic, like I didn't know what they were saying. Like the town that I was in, most of the people there didn't speak English, or they were, they were afraid to speak English, because sometimes people are upset, or they don't, not upset, but they get nervous when they don't speak the language right. So, when I got over there, I was like, wow, this is something that I don't know if I can do. And but once I got on the basketball court, everything, all my worries kind of went away. I had the opportunity, I had the ball in my hands. They let me be myself, and it was my first taste of a season as a professional, so it taught me a lot, the professionalism. And then I had American teammates, Mike Dixon and Julian Vaughn, who had been overseas before, and they really kind of put their hand around me, their arms around me, and embraced me and pushed me along, during that season. And we, with that team, we played in the VTB and the domestic league, and also Champions League. And we made the playoffs in all the leagues. We won a championship over there in the domestic league, but we made the playoffs for the first time in the VTB in the team's history. So we did something special, and that right there just kind of boosted my confidence, my reassurance of myself within myself too, that I could do anything.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, most guys I feel could benefit from an experience like that as a rookie. Obviously, we don't see it as often. Guys that get drafted, they're typically either playing or on the bench throughout their rookie season in the NBA. But I feel like a lot of guys could benefit from that, even just from the off court, getting used to a new culture, maturing, learning about yourself. Do you agree?
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's a lot to be learned within the world. They say, some of the most intelligent people, they enjoy traveling. I think there's a lot of information out there in the world, and like I said, like we are a culmination of our experiences. So like the more you see, the better you become, or the more aware you become, at least. You can learn from anything, as long as you're looking to do so. So yeah, I learned a lot in the Czech Republic. The people were super, super nice. They embraced me. The fans were great out there. I loved the food. And I'm at 22, like, I got to taste some of the best beer over there. So like there's things you can enjoy,
Ha ha ha.
as you're over there.
No, for sure. You then played for the Westchester Knicks, averaging 21 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. You shot 40% from 3 over 19 games. How would you compare the G League competition to what you faced in college or overseas?
For me, I think the G League was a great experience. It allowed me to get the feel for an NBA game, an NBA season. The way they prepare is in Westchester, and with all the other teams I was with in the G League, like they prepare you, in the best way possible for the NBA. And the speed of the game is actually, in my opinion, a lot faster than the NBA because your guys are getting up shots, man. They're getting them up, so you're getting up and down the floor, and then you see some of that raw athleticism in the G League as well. So with long, active, athletic guys, so you see. It definitely helps prepare you for the next level. But in comparison to overseas, it's a little different. Overseas game is more strategic. It is, more of a chess match than, a gunfight.
Yeah, that makes sense. You were signed by the Sixers on a 10-day contract in January 2017. Your NBA dream became reality. You made your NBA debut for Philly. Walk me through what that night was like and what you were feeling.
Oh my goodness, man. It was like a dream come true. It was really a surreal moment for me and my family, and to be honest, the whole city of Rock Island. We had, I think Don Nelson was like the first to play in the NBA from Rock Island, but then, I was the second. So it was like, man, like I felt like I was carrying a lot with me into that, and it all just kind of was, a weight off my shoulders, and a surreal moment. It was a dream come true. But yeah, Philly was awesome. I enjoyed my time there. My family, my mom and dad, they were super excited. They actually got to come out and see my first game that I played in Milwaukee, and this is a great experience, man. Like I'm grateful for Brian Colangelo and those guys who gave me the opportunity, Brett Brown, everybody within the organization.
You kind of allude to this, but I feel like every time you've gotten an opportunity in the NBA, you've made the most of it. You've produced, whether it was Philly, New York, Washington. I mean, you were always able to average 5 points per game. You shot the ball well. What kind of feedback did you get from teams, or have you gotten from teams in terms of what they want to see from you or how you performed?
The feedback that I've gotten is just, I think, really to just continue to be myself, every time I step out on the court. As a backup point guard, I got the opportunity to, like, come in and learn from the guys who were starting, but also have my own imprint on the game. So when I come in, I'm trying to, kind of change the pace of the game. If we're doing well, I want to continue that streak that we're on and enhance the team. And if we're down, try to, build us up and bring us out of a deficit. So as a point, I had to learn to control the game and, have my own imprint on the game, picking up full defensively. That's something that, was big that I do. So yeah, I got great feedback from all my coaches, and I'm grateful for them and the advice and learning that I've got from them.
How much do you feel you've developed from 2015 to now?
Oh man, tremendously, tremendously. Like I feel like I've gotten better at every in just about every aspect of my game. Shooting the ball is one. Defensively, I feel like I've gotten a lot better. I've gotten stronger. Being able to finish through contact and finish within the paint and working on different touch shots and some of everything. Like I reading the game has slowed down for me tremendously. So, and even as a leader, I feel like I've been able to learn how to lead a team and help a team win. overall. So 2015 to now has been tremendous growth for me and my game.
Who are some players that you study or watch film of, to try to mimic their game or certain moves?
That's a great question. So like I can go all the way old school. So like Isaiah Thomas is like one of my all-time favorites. I also enjoy watching like CJ McCollum, Patty Mills, Kyrie, and Lou Williams. Those are like the guys that like I really try to look at and study their game. And try to put some of what they do into my game.
Yeah, that's a good list. You won a EuroLeague championship in 2018 with Real Madrid. What were you able to learn from that experience?
Man, I learned a lot. The biggest thing that I took away from that though is that it takes a tremendous amount of focus to win, a championship at the highest level, in Europe. A tremendous amount of focus, and a little bit of luck. You know what I mean? To be honest, but I learned a lot. Those guys were great. I had the opportunity to play with Luka Doncic, as a young, I think he was 18, 19. I had a chance to play with Rudy Fernandez, Sergio Yule, Felipe Reyes, like the list goes on. Gustavo, everybody, Trey Tompkins, Jeff Taylor, like the list goes on. That was a great team to be a part of. And I'm grateful for that experience. Like Real Madrid, they definitely did a great job of embracing me, allowing me to be myself. And then the culture there was amazing. Like the fans was like something I've never seen or been a part of before. It's like college amplified, you know what I mean? Like so it was really, really cool to be a part of that experience.
Before Luka was drafted, we did an article on HoopSite where we talked to a bunch of overseas players, guys that had played against Luka multiple times. And, we asked them, what do you think of his game? How will it translate to the NBA? And I mean, everyone just raved about him. And they were like, look, you guys don't understand how crazy it is that he's doing this and winning championship and MVP at 18 years old against grown men. And they were saying, no one else in this draft class could do that. Why aren't people talking about him? Why isn't he the number one pick? Did you kind of have the same thing? Where you're seeing this kid every day and you're thinking, how is he going, later in the draft? How is he not the top pick? I mean, did you see it right away that he would be a star?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I had, scouts and stuff call me before the draft and like, is Luka that is he this good? And I'm telling them like, man, if he's not number one, it's like something's wrong with you. You know what I mean? Like he's that good. I saw it day one out there, or game one, I should say. My first EuroLeague game, we were playing in Turkey, and the dude dropped like 30 points, like 10 assists, and had like 7 or 8 rebounds in like 20 something minutes, hit the game winner, like, and just so poised. You know what I mean? Like, you could never speed him up. He played at his own pace. He controlled the game. Like, he did what he wanted at 18. I'm like, this dude's amazing. Like, he's ready. He's ready now, and we're seeing that he's done a great job of continuing to dominate and be himself and really explore or show the world, his talent. So he's great.
Yeah, he's so much fun to watch. Of all your overseas stops, which country was your favorite?
I'd hate to say that,
That's
because I
true. I don't want to put you on
every
the
yeah,
spot.
no, every country that I've lived in or played in, has had it holds a special place in my heart because, the people and how they embrace me. But I really enjoyed my time in the Czech Republic. That was my first experience with European basketball, like I said. And it was everything was new, you know what I mean? There's something to be said about that feeling, when everything is new and you're learning and everything's so vibrant,
No, that makes sense. Yeah. I want to ask you about this. You have a clothing line that you're launching in August. Can you kind of tell people what that's about? I think it's really cool. You and I were talking about it before we started recording. Can you kind of share the details?
Yeah, so the name of the brand is Vohard, Vohard, and it loosely translates to perseverance in both Dutch and Afrikaans. And for me, it's been a key factor in my life and why I am who I am and why I've gotten so far. Perseverance has been the driven factor for me. And so I kind of wanted to convey that message within the clothes. I think that it's something that kind of links every person together. Everyone has had to persevere through something at some point in their lives, and we'll continue to have to do that. And so it's a message that's universal, and it'll be able to kind of relate to people all around the world. So whoever's willing to help support and be a part of the culture and the lifestyle, I'll be launching in August. God willing, and I'm excited, man. It's like my baby. All the designs were done by me. Like I've been sketching since 2018, working on this collection and more. So yeah, I'm super, super excited about this.
That's awesome. So when did you first get into, clothing design and realize that you wanted to have your own line?
Yeah, so like I've always wanted to start my own clothing line, probably since I was in high school. Like I would always ask my friends and stuff, like let's start a t-shirt brand, or let's start a clothing line or whatever. And it just never came to fruition. But when I was in Spain, I had a little bit more time on my hands, so I was working on the sketches. And my mom always just told me to express myself, be creative, do other things. You're more than just a basketball player. And so I did that with my time over there, and I started sketching and started pitching the idea of the brand to my friends and family, and talked to some people within the industry. And they all kind of co-signed and gave me the thumbs up. This is a tough business. It's a passion project for sure for me. But it's something that I feel like it'll allow me to just kind of be creative and express myself in different ways.
That's awesome. Well, we're pulling for you. I'm hoping it blows up and becomes a huge success. I think it's very cool. I'll definitely be ordering one. I'm not just saying that either. I want to support the brand. So yeah, everyone, make sure you check that out in August. It's Volhard, Volhard, and you'll have a. It'll be an online store. Is that correct?
Yeah, it'll be all online. Yep.
Awesome. Well, Chasen, man, thank you so much for joining me. This has been a lot of fun, and I know things are crazy right now. So thank you so much for making time to do this.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. You take care.
Everyone, make sure you check out Volhard in August. And if you guys want to hear more episodes of the Hoops Hype Podcast, check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere your favorite podcasts are found. And until next time, thanks for listening.